How is everyone? Welcome. Thanks for coming this morning. It's been a good morning so far. How's that Elaine? 95, running up the aisle. Both of my hamstrings would have exploded halfway down if I was doing that. That's just amazing. Anyway, bless God. Is everyone doing well? We're on our final week of our, what's the series called? One House, Many Hands, Part 4, Father's Day next week. And then we're launching into a new series. Mum's going to like do the whole lot next one up, talking about the grace gifts. Who's excited for that? So I am. It's going to be wonderful. But we're going to again, bookend this one, land a plane on One House, Many Hands this morning. He was blessed by LJ last week. He's enjoyed, she's just amazing. Amazing. I'm going to ask you to turn into your Bibles to John chapter 13. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. John chapter 13. And I just want to start by saying, who knows that we do not serve the vision of the church? Everyone goes, what are you talking about? We're not actually called to serve the vision of the church. And the vision of the church essentially, or our church, is to transform cities. Okay? Transform cities through life-changing encounters with the love of God and His healing power. That's essentially what the vision of our church is. But we're not called to serve a vision, we're called to serve people. That's what we're called to serve. We're called to serve people. Someone say, I'm called to serve people. Because that's what Jesus called us to do. He called us to serve people. And you know what He did? He did it with joy. You think about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, it says, but for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. But for the joy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are the joy. You are the reason that He endured the cross. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to look at John chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 17. We're going to be in and out of that scripture all morning. I want to teach us a few things about how to serve and the way that Jesus served, because He gave us an example here. So let's look at John 13, verse 1. I'm in the New King James Version, and it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Jesus answered him and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to Him, you shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, changed his mind very quickly, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, you are not all clean. Verse 12. So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, sat down again, He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, someone say example, for you should do this as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. All right, so we got a pretty amazing story here. And what I want to just quickly share with you is that if you've ever read through the Gospel of John, but there's something significant happening here in John chapter 13. Because if you look through that gospel, the first 12, which is quite amazing, the first 12 chapters of John cover the first 3 years of Jesus' public life, you know, and the things that he did in his ministry, right? But starting at chapter 13, things slow down dramatically, okay? Because from chapter 13 and the next five chapters all are talking about or all cover just a single evening. One single evening, only a few hours. So 12 chapters cover 3 years and then five chapters cover 3 hours. All right? Which is, I think, is quite amazing. All right? And the reason for that is because John is focusing our attention on the most important words and actions of Jesus before the cross. Okay? It's incredible. So part of that, right at the start, is this concept, this idea, this example of serving. Right at the start. Amen? So to me, when you think five chapters, 3 hours, condense Jesus' most important words, and the very first thing he says is shows us how to serve, that's got to mean something, right? Amen? So let's have a look at these final instructions. His last conversation to his disciples. You know, and the thing about it is it's like the last conversation he has before he's betrayed, before he's arrested, and before he's crucified. This is huge, right? So look at what he's doing. He's not choosing his final moments to preach a sermon. He's not choosing his final moments to, you know, perform like another mighty miracle, all right, or to call down angels, right? What is he doing? He takes a towel, fills up a basin with water, kneels down, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Amen? So what you got to understand about this is that this is actually quite shocking, okay? And it's actually unheard of. And the reason is because you think about this, the Son of God, someone say the Son of God, takes the position of a slave. This is the position of a slave. But what he's doing is he's taking this time and teaching us something that every disciple of Jesus needs to learn. And that's how to serve like him. Amen? That's how to serve like him. So we're going to look at how to serve like Jesus. And like Cara, I've got some slides. Who likes a slide? It's just so you can write a couple of things down, okay? Because we're going to go real quick this morning. Okay, so what's the first slide? Serve like Jesus. Okay, and so I've got the scripture down there that you can write. So this is where we're in here this morning. So The first thing that Jesus wants to teach us about serving is that serving others is never beneath us. Serving others is never beneath us. He took the position of a slave, right? Which is crazy, which is unheard of. And I've got some footy fans in here. All right, so you might know of a guy, not many, some people would know a guy called Nathan Cleary. Yeah. Tom Trbojevic, Jake Trbojevic, his brother. Okay, well, I don't know if you know about Nathan Cleary and Jake Trbojevic. They've actually been seen, or it's been reported that these guys go around and clean up the dressing rooms after games. All right, which is, you know, these are like your top tier, quite, you know, amazing footballers, like the best in the game. But they go around and clean up the dressing rooms. All right, but this one's for Scott. There's this guy called Alfred Morris. All right, and he's an NFL player. Got you, Scott. Where are you, mate? There he is. An NFL player, played for Washington, I believe. Okay, bad luck. Anyway, the same thing. This guy, Alfred Morris, will go around after games and start, you know, cleaning up the locker room. All right? Just quietly doing it, picking up wet towels, picking up other bits and pieces that most people wouldn't want to pick up. Okay, but this guy would go around cleaning up the dressing room, and reporters noticed this, right? And they asked him this question. They said, you know what? So you got to think, this guy's like the elite of the elite, like a champion athlete, starter in the NFL, like, you know, the guy, right? And so what the reporters obviously thought this was unusual. So they've asked him this question, why do you do that? And his answer was simply this: I just want to serve like Jesus. That was his answer. Remember, our first point here is serving others is never beneath us. It's never beneath us. So in John 13:14, Jesus says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Okay? So again, think about it. The one who spoke the universe into existence. Okay? The one God who walked on water and raised the dead, said to us, gave us an example by kneeling down and washing dirty, dusty, calloused feet. The one who spoke the universe into existence. Amen? See, and again, you got to think, in Jewish culture, like I said before, like this was the lowest of the jobs that were available, okay? These were the ones that the servants did, the slaves did, okay? The bottom, I guess, of the household hierarchy. They're the ones that took on this role of washing people's feet. But what did Jesus do? He did it. He set an example. Amen? And he said it this way. He said, this is what greatness in the kingdom of God looks like. This is what greatness in the kingdom of God looks like. Serving one another. That is greatness. Amen? Come on. Look at what Paul wrote later. He said in Philippians 2:7, he said, he made himself of no reputation, talking of Jesus, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. Amen. He came to serve. So you think, if God himself took on the role of a servant, there's no act of service that is beneath us. Come on. No act of service that is beneath us. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. Ready? Here we go. So here's the question. What kind of jobs or acts of service do we think are beneath us? Have you ever had that thought? You know, this, you know, someone else can do this. You know, is it cleaning up the communion cups after church? Is this okay to say? You know, thank God we don't have to put our chairs and pack up chairs every Sunday. Amen. Is it taking out the rubbish? I'm just using some examples. Is this all right? Is it, you know, stopping to help someone? Is it pushing a trolley for someone? No, it's this simple. But what kind of jobs do we think are beneath us? Amen? See, Jesus sets the example. He stooped low, right? He stooped low. Does that mean that there's absolutely nothing that is beneath us? Amen? Slide 2. Number 2, serving others is not about who they are, but who Christ is. Serving others is not about who they are, but who Christ is. All right? So in the story, verse 2, this is where it gets in John 13. It gets pretty confronting here. Did you notice who was sitting at the table? Judas. Okay, so we all know about Judas. He's the guy that took 30 pieces of silver, gave Jesus a kiss, and said, "This is the guy that you're looking for." All right, he's the one that betrayed Jesus, right? And he's sitting at the table. And so Satan's, you know, already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. But what does Jesus do? Not a true question. He bends down, knowing full well what Judas is going to do. He still bends down and washes Judas's feet. Amen? See, serving others is not about who they are, but who he is, who Christ is. All right? So, you know, I don't know about you, but if that was me, I'm not sure that that would have been my reaction to Judas at that time. Anyone else ever think that? But Jesus doesn't respond the same way that we would. I'd be like, "Yeah, not you. Not you at all. See you later." You know, other choice words might have been said, but you know, he didn't do that. What does Jesus do? Kneels down, looks his betrayer in the eye, and washes his feet. What an example. Amen? What an example. He serves him. Again, why? Because serving isn't about the other person. It's about who Jesus is. It's about obeying him. Amen? Matthew 5, verse 44 says, Jesus told us to what? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. That's pretty full on. That's intense. Romans 12, 21 says, Paul said this. He said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Any parents here? I always use a parental example. Has anyone ever, had tough times serving your children? Anyone? It can be tough sometimes serving your children. Is this right? Because sometimes we don't feel like they're very grateful at times. It's funny because we had this photo, you know, photo memories come up. I was going to get it up, but I didn't want to embarrass. Not really embarrassed, but I had one of these photo memories come up. Is he in here? He's probably here. Where's Timmy? He's somewhere. There he is. Got sunglasses on. He knew I was going to say something. Yeah, I had this photo come up. It was this little photo. He might have been like 3 or 4, and he's vacuuming. And Heather sent a message to the family and said, what did you say? That last time Timmy vacuumed. Has we been vacuuming ever since? But we do. We have those times where we're like, you know, that we don't feel like, you know, they appreciate the things that we do when we serve them. But does that stop us serving them? No. Why? Because we love them. We love them. Amen? We serve our children regardless because we love them. And sometimes we do feel spitefully used. Yes. But we don't not serve them, right? Because serving isn't about who they are, it's about who he is. Amen? It's about who he is. So you might have, you know, think about it. You might have a Judas in your life. Who's your Judas? Could be someone at work that just really rubs you up the wrong way. Might be one of your kids. Amen. You know, it could be anyone, but who's your Judas? Guess who you need to go and serve? Your Judas. Amen? Come on. Because you know what it does? Serving frees your heart. You know? Serving frees your heart. You know, you have, you know, something on, going on between you and another person, and serve them. It frees your heart, and it'll free you from any bitterness or resentment. Amen? Third thing, humility is shown not only in serving, but in receiving service. It's amazing how much we can learn from one chapter. Look at this in verse 8. It says, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." It's interesting how very quickly Peter responded and said, "You'll not wash everything." Being a part of him in relationship with him was very important to him. So wash everything. All right? But see, the thing about Peter is that at first he resisted. He said, "You know, you're never going to wash my feet." And what he was in that moment, he thought he was actually being humble. He thought he was actually being humble. You see, you know, "I'm not worthy of you." Like we think, like, this is incredible that, you know, the one who spoke the universe into existence is, you know, taking the place of a slave, a servant, and washing feet. Like, he's thinking the same thing. "I'm not worthy. You're Jesus. So he thinks he's taking this humble position. But in actual fact, it was a place of pride. It was a place of pride, because humility isn't just about giving, it's also about receiving. Humility isn't just about giving, it's also about receiving. Amen? Yeah. So Jesus said to him, what did he say? "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Whoever struggles to have someone serve them? It's the question. It's the application. Whoever struggles, you know, sometimes we do. Sometimes we struggle to have or to allow other people's to serve us. Is this right? Anyone ever had this feeling? Because what does it do? Sometimes it can make us feel weak. You know, it can make us feel vulnerable. It can make us feel like we're indebted to them for that. Right? So sometimes it's hard for us to receive service. But Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're actually meant to receive service. We're meant to humble ourselves and receive service, right? It says, you know, that law of Christ is simply, you know, love God and love your neighbor. This is how love is expressed. By bearing one another's burdens, right? James 4:6 said, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if we never allow others to serve us, what we're actually doing, and some will go, "Oh yeah, right, what do you mean by that?" But what we're actually doing is we are actually robbing them of a blessing of obedience. And some people will say, "Well, you're not actually, because God will bless them anyway, because their heart was in the right place." Yes, that's right. But who's ever served someone, I'm sure you all have, and seen them blessed, and you get this incredible sense of blessing? There's a joy that comes from serving. That's what you're robbing that person of when you don't receive service from them. God will bless them because of their heart, absolutely. But there's this physical manifestation of that blessing that takes place. It's just like, "That was awesome. I loved helping that person." You don't want to take that away from someone. Amen? So humble yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Humble yourself and receive a blessing." Amen? The biggest group of people, the greatest group of people that don't allow this are people that like to be in control. The control freaks. Okay? The ones that don't like to relinquish control. They're the ones that struggle with this the most, to receive service. Now, I don't want to bash up control freaks. We all like to be in control at some, it's normal, right? But we can't be like so in control that we don't allow others in. Amen? Is this okay to say? So think about this. Just do a, I guess, like a little quick survey of your own self. Have you ever not allowed someone to help you? Have you ever not allowed them? Right? Have you ever, been struggling with something at some point? Have you ever not, received prayer for something, encouragement for something, practical help for something? Okay? It actually takes humility to admit that. And that takes humility to admit you have a need, right? It means receiving grace from others. And like I said before, don't be that person that robs them of a blessing. You're going to be blessed. They're going to be blessed. Everyone's going to be blessed. And Jesus will be glorified. Amen? You all right with that? Okay, last one. Someone say last one. Number four. Are these slides coming up? Yeah. Oh, good. It's working. Therefore, the next one is, there is a blessing in serving, which is what we just said. There is a blessing in serving. So in verse 17, it said, Jesus says this. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you. Someone say, blessed are you. If you do them, blessed are you if you do them. So notice this. He doesn't say you're blessed if you know them. He says you're blessed if you do them. You're blessed if you do them. All right? So, serving, serving will cost you something. Right? Most of the time, it's your time. It can cost you convenience, okay? But you're going to be blessed if you do them, right? There's a blessing in the service. And like I said before, it's that joy, that feeling, that there's nothing quite like it. Amen? In Galatians 5, verse 13 to 14, it says, serve one another in love. Someone say love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And Matthew 20, verse 26 to 27 says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Amen? Bless God. So greatness in the kingdom of God is what we have to understand, that the greatness in the kingdom of God is not about how many people serve you. That's not greatness. That's greatness in the world. We define greatness in the world as how many servants or how many people serve you. Like wealth and, think about the royal family and all that kind of, like the servants, right? But that's not greatness in the kingdom of God. It's not how many people serve you. It's about how many people you serve. Amen? See, who's heard of Mother Teresa? I hope so. Mother Teresa, she said this once. She said, not all of us do great things, but we can do small things with great love. That's a good word. Not all of us will do great things, but we can do small things with great love. See, you may never wash thousands of people's feet. And most of you are probably sitting there saying, praise the Lord. However, you can wash one person's feet. Amen? You know, it's metaphorical. Is that the right word? Metaphorically speaking, you can wash one. Amen? You can wash one. You can make a phone call. You know, you can make a meal. You can write a note. You can stop and listen. Amen? You can stop and listen. It's just the small things done with great love that make the difference. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's wrap this up. I know you know this, that you know, we've talked about how Jesus served his disciples and washed their feet, but you know, his greatest act of service wasn't washing feet, it was the cross. It was the cross, right? That the ultimate, you know, humility for him wasn't taking the towel or filling up a basin with water and washing feet. It was, you know, going to the cross. It was the nails and going to the cross. Paul says this in Philippians 2:8. He says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. That was his greatest act of service. Amen? That was it. That was his greatest act of service to humankind, to humanity. Go on to the cross. And he did that for each and every one of us, right? Because he loves us. So I just want to set the challenge for you this morning as we wrap this series up. Serve someone this week. Think about Jesus. Think about him, you know, this what he's taught us. Remember the most important words, you know, that he had to say. Serve someone this week. Think about it, someone that may not even deserve it. Someone who, you know, you can't repay or hasn't repaid you. Someone that you find hard to love. Your grace grower. Serve them. But also do this. Let someone serve you. Okay, some of us don't have any issue with that. But let someone serve you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself to receive. You know, pray a little prayer like this, that, you know, pray, Lord, make me more like Jesus in the way that I serve. I should have put that on the slide. That was a good one. Make me more like Jesus in the way that I serve. Amen. And remember that what the world says about greatness and what the world says greatness is, isn't being served. It's how we serve. It's saying greatness is serving the way Jesus did.